Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly,
what do we got?
A lot of Kickstarters. Oh, yeah. Anyhow, Radiant Citadel is a Nebula nominee.
Okay.
Hellpiercers Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
That was a recommendation from chat in last week. I took a look at it. Yeah, it's fun stuff. And AMC's Walking Dead Universe. I'm not going to say it without putting AMC's because that's what it is. The TV show.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Yeah, okay.
And something that tickled Matt that I checked out too that was pretty good.
Maybe watch RPG.
Another.
God damn it. No.
I wish. Not yet. You're in space and everything is fucked.
Oh, yeah. The game.
All right. So let's get started. A good Kyle Brink replacement, I think, comes up in this article.
Okay.
So D&D's Radiant Citadel is nominated for Sci-Fi's Nebula Award. So I guess they have a category now that includes like video game writing and the tabletop and things. Okay. I don't know. It's probably just like an other media or something. Yeah. The Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel, which was a collection of several writers, is in the running against video games like Elden Ring. I didn't know Elden Ring had enough writing in it too. Game writing category. Yes, they specifically have a game writing category. And the project is led by Ajit George, who I am nominating to replace Kyle Brinkman because he seems to be the most sane of anyone doing anything for D&D. Because remember last week was saying, I would do Dark Sun. I could do Dark Sun.
Right.
Give me Dark Sun for 5e. You don't have to be afraid. So, of course, if you don't know about Journey Through the Radiant Citadel, it's Black and Brown authors did an anthology spanning multiple fantasy worlds that included and were inspired by different cultures or groups of cultures.
Oh, cool.
So specifically taking inspiration from, you know, Filipino culture and different South Asian and different places. It was originally released in July of 2022. Very well received.
Very recent, yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, though, the ceremony is just going to be a virtual one. So if they win, it's just going to be on Zoom.
Well,
we're still doing that.
Yeah, but we're also still in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah,
whether or not people wear masks or not.
Right, right. We're not. It's not over yet. Yeah. And so that'll be May 14th, 2020 this year. May 14th will announce the winners, and that's the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America Awards, the Nebulas. Mm-hmm. And they date back to 1966. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah,
interesting. They're diversifying into, you know, game writing and trying to include, you know, it is the genre, but it's just not novels and short stories.
Thing, yeah.
So that's cool. So congratulations to Ajit George and the whole group behind Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel. It's good that project actually was released, that it actually was made, you know, got through Wizards of the Coast and actually made it, you know, into print. So we'll see. I guess, though, if they get an award, then it is going to be an award for WotC.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm only marginally keeping up on kind of what's going on in the WotC world. I think there's I've been getting people complaining about there's some kind of like WotC creator summit kind of going on now or whatever, or it's either going on now or the people who are attending have been announced.
And
the only thing I've seen is people complaining about being called shills for going, right. And I don't know, so I don't know exactly what's happening there, but it does kind of bring up the whole thing of, can you change something from the inside? Right. And I don't know, different people have different opinions, so I gotta wonder about Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel, right? Like, I saw that. Sounds awesome. Okay, we've got all these diverse cultures. Is that just flavoring for killing things and taking their
stuff? Oh, right. Yeah, have they changed
the
D&D?
And I don't know. I haven't read it.
Yeah.
The fact that it's for D&D. Okay, yes. Right? The world's most popular role-playing game. It's big.
Right.
But again, if it's through the framework of D&D, like, I don't know.
Right? Yeah, I think that's that keeps coming up. Like some of their releases, their newer releases, like the Strixhaven. Well, no, was that the university?
The Magic University.
Yeah, the Magic University. Like they're trying to have final magic exams and have dance school dances and stuff. Like they're trying to push other parts of the role play, but why are you trying to do that with 5e?
It's
really funny that they keep doing that. So yeah, I wonder if I haven't seen Radiant Citadel, just know of the origin. So I'm curious if they actually decided to move away to try to do something else with the what the characters are doing in the adventures.
I don't know. Like, I don't think Now, I don't think you can, but like we've discussed before, like, okay, unless you're changing the mechanical framework of D&D, which you could with extra, like, bolt-on rules, right? But then it's still just kind of a combat simulator, right? Because it's everywhere else, it's like, yeah, do whatever you want. Do what feels right. We will maybe give you a few guidelines, right? But like with combat, it's like, no, here's exactly how you run it, right? So you're like, okay, what is this game? Anyway, yeah.
No, that's a good point. And we'll see what happens. And we'll see what this the people that are involved in this project, what they do, because maybe they won't be. They'll get this award, and hopefully that will be credential that'll get them, you know, legitimized to do their own company, do their own publishing.
Well, the thing is, like, not everybody wants to, right? And you shouldn't kind of have to. And, like, unfortunately or fortunately, however you see it, right? Like, WotC is kind of the top,
yeah,
right? Like, what are we going to do? We're working up to get to work for WotC. And the fact that we did is, like, that's kind of the we made it thing. And the fact that the biggest game put this thing out can definitely be seen as a win, but anyway, okay. Right. I'm just going to talk myself in circles. So on to the next point, right?
Yes. Let's start the Kickstarter extravaganza.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
So first we'll start with Sandy Pug Games Hellpiercers. So a tactical hellslaying action game.
Okay.
So here's some of the flavor. Mm-hmm. 6 years ago in the center of a city on the moon, made of rune brass and arcane ritual, the Council of Socialist Gnostics perverted the magic of heaven to tear the fabric of reality and peer into the pit, and they found humanity's lost. Billions of souls lashed into a nightmare of eternal torture and toil, their soul forms twisted into beasts of burden, weapons, and worse. The portal snapped shut as soon as our darkest fears were confirmed. Hell is real, and almost every human soul was trapped there.
Okay.
So you're piercing hell, you're attacking hell. So the so they're kind of basing it on a few different mechanics, tactical hell slaying, base building, and map-based strategy. So it seems there's a couple of games that do seem to take a lot of inspiration from video games, like a lot of the mechanics and the names of things, like bosses and stuff.
Tower defense.
And seem to be made from, yeah. So these are people coming at it from enjoying games and wanting to include some of those. So, it's set in the Great Mourning. The Second Global Congress of Ankara is responsible for this reclaiming the souls from hell. So you play as divine humanity clad in corpses of angels storming the gates of hell. That sounds pretty heavy, pretty metal. So they have vast character customization, meaningful strategic layers, with mechanical simplicity, fast-paced tactical combat, and extensive GM tools to make interesting counterplay and faction development.
Oh, cool.
So it sounds, and the character creation, they say, it is very modular. So you can constantly, reconfigure, like, how your character is working during, like, downtime. Hmm. And there's a lot of alternatives. So it sounds really fun. The approach. I didn't see anything about the dice mechanics or anything, but there is a preview. I'd put a link to the preview. So I didn't go through the preview.
I've kind of been on a Kickstarter moratorium, especially since I'll be moving soon.
Oh, right. Not you don't want anything
to be developed, but like, I'm real tempted to back this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it looks good. And I like the art as well. They do an interesting job with the art. So, Sandy Pug Games promises top-notch artwork and stories that speak of complex themes, the unity in the face of cosmic horror, and the limitless potential of unified humanity. So that's awesome theming. I mean, they did a really good job, and it doesn't seem to be. I mean, it's very Judeo-Christian based, but it's also. But I guess like concepts of hell exist in all religions, so you don't have to strictly see it that way, but in terms of angels and hell. But it looks really fun. So I would suggest checking it out. There is a preview of the with some temporary art, and the kind of draft that they have so far is available on their itch.io. So I put a link to that.
I'll be going to check that out.
Yeah.
Seems funny because, like, I appreciate games that have, like, a theme and a focus. And if you're going to, like, Chris keeps slamming D&D for being combat focused. Why is he going to back that? Like, because this game is about combat, right? Like, that's its deal, right? Like, you're going to go kick some demon ass wearing like angel corpse armor in hell, right? Like, it's not going, oh, this game can be anything you want. It's like, no, this is what the game's about. Here's the mechanical focus. All the mechanics are going to be, like, tuned to give you this experience. I appreciate that kind of design instead of going, it's a toolbox, Right. Do whatever you want, but not really a toolbox, yeah, right? If you're going to do a toolbox, make a toolbox. If you're going to have a focus, make a focus.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let everyone just figure it out for themselves.
Mm.
Anyway, sorry.
Good.
Continuing this rant.
Yeah, so moving on to another Kickstarter, probably the least exciting of all of them.
I expect a very deadpan voice here.
Oh, yes. Okay. the Walking Dead role-playing game.
You messed it up.
Oh, what? Oh, sorry.
Dead. AMC.
Oh, AMC. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that AMC's Walking Dead. Yeah, so I was getting to that part at the end.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so yeah, AMC's Walking Dead role-playing game lets you play out scenarios from the TV series. Wah, wah.
Oh.
So it's pretty strictly, that's what the license is, and that's who they dealt with. And there's even a little AMC logo, like, right under the Walking Dead. So that means it excludes the comics, which excludes a lot of great artwork, but... Free League does amazing art. They've got great art direction and great artists. So it's going to be Martin Grip cover and, you know, interior art. So it's going to look nice, but I don't know.
I bet it's going to play nice too.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
But.
Yeah. It's going to be year zero. And it seems like from the explanation of the producer, I watched a little bit of a live stream. It's going to be similar to, so more D6, not quite Twilight 2000, but similar to, you know, straight D6 with a panic mechanic, like an alien panic mechanic. So the things that you do, the penalty instead of, so there's panic and also you're raising a threat level of zombies.
Okay.
So things that how you're interacting or what you're trying to do either makes noise that attracts zombies or just creates a distraction to you. And then all of a sudden you've got zombie attacks. So there's like level.
I like that. Yes. That would be a useful mechanic elsewhere. I mean, you can do that with just about anything. I mean, like, translate it to Dinosaur Island. And just like you're attracting raptors, right?
Right.
Hell Pierce to some kind of alien station. You're attracting demons, right? I like that mechanic where it's like, okay, no, it's not harm. It's not fail. You did it.
Mm-hmm.
The GM's just going to accumulate this resource make your life shitty later on.
Here comes the dinosaurs. Yeah. Yes. So in AMC's The Walking Dead role-playing game, you're trying to survive. An emphasis. So just like with Alien or Blade Runner, there's kind of an extra storytelling or narrative emphasis. Mm. So trying to talk about, people working together and developing kind of your identity and your usefulness in this group of survivors.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, the mechanics sound great. And of course they are going to be great. The book's going to be beautiful.
Right.
I don't know. It's strange too, because they also said that there are more Walking Dead properties coming out. So the main series is finished. And I think the Fear of the Walking Dead may be finishing as well, but there's another, it's like how many spinoffs?
Gotta keep milking that cow.
Yeah, how many spinoffs? I guess they do thoroughly own this, but the thing about AMC is they get sued by everyone because they're terrible business practices. And I think the original comic book creator is suing AMC for royalties and things. Yeah, like using his ideas and not paying him for them. So I don't know. And it looks like they may do things in a similar way. I didn't get through the whole Kickstarter page, but it's going to be a rule book, and then they'll do custom dice and maps and stuff. And the one thing that they're unlocking with stretch goals is recognizable characters from the stat it out kind of pre-gen versions of the recognizable show characters. Right, so you can play all those wonderful characters.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, what's the difference between that and an alien cinematic scenario?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, sorry.
And I don't necessarily mean mechanically. Yeah, I mean, like, conceptually. Like we're kind of bashing it. People like, oh, we're just going to play. Maybe you want to do that.
Yeah,
right?
No, definitely. If you like that, I mean, and yeah, zombie would be, zombie apocalypse would be fun to play. Just this IP, and specifically this television series IP, is so uninteresting, and they've milked it for far too long. It's like one of those.
Here's your chance.
What?
Here's your chance to make it interesting your table.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing, too, that I found with both Alien and Blade Runner is, not in love with everything that they produced, comics and other things around that IP. But when it's at the table, you do get to make it your own. Like, you don't have to play the characters from the TV series, but also mechanically, as you brought up when you're talking about the cinematic scenarios for Alien, they will have two modes. Similarly, there will be two modes: a campaign mode and then a survival mode. And survival mode sounds like more like cinematic, where it's a problem and a location and probably inspired by the TV show.
Okay.
So you're like trapped in the prison or trapped in the RV or whatever. Right.
Trapped somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you're doing.
Trapped in the hospital. Yeah, whatever.
Right. Yeah. So they're going to support both of those from the beginning, but maybe like kind of like Alien, you're not going to have that clear. I'm wondering if the core book will give you enough rules to run the campaign, because we kind of felt with Alien, just the core book didn't really give you enough guidance. And
I still haven't read the Colonial Marines.
Yeah. And once I started supporting the different choices for characters, then they fleshed out the world a little bit more and also what a campaign is.
Yeah. It's not that they didn't give you tools for running a campaign mode in Alien RPG. It's kind of like the only thing they gave you were tools, right? Mm-hmm. With no indication of kind of how you're supposed to use them, what a campaign would look like. It's just like, here's a bunch of tables to generate stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go at it, right? So, right. Yeah, maybe The Walking Dead would have something similar for their campaign mode, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a bunch of tables. Use it.
Yeah. Yes. So AMC's The Walking Dead Universe role-playing game is co-designed by Niels Hintz, the same designer that's worked on Tales from the Loop and a lot of the other Year Zero engine games. And Joe LaFave is also involved, who was kind of the IP liaison with Blade Runner and Alien.
Okay.
So he's also involved. And so it's gonna feel like the TV show, and it's going to have great mechanics, and it should be very playable. But yeah, talk about a weird. It fits. I mean, I can see why the owners of the company or whoever they talked into this. Oh yeah, of course, that makes logical sense.
I gotta wonder if people who are in charge of an IP that's not from a game, who then make an approach. I wonder which way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Does the RPG kind of company approach and say we'd really like to do something with this, or does the IP company go, hey, we should branch out to other games and have no clue what an RPG? That tangent was just, I wondering, like, this is a great fit. And like you said, the Free League books are fantastic. The mechanics are great. The art's wonderful. The book's going to be gorgeous. Everything's going to fit. I wonder if the people from AMC approached Free League because of that, or if they just said, here's a middling company that'll probably do it for less than WotC. Let's do that, right? Like, I want to know which one happened.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, that's very interesting. From my experience, brands often have agents, basically.
Right, okay.
Like, there's brand agencies that try to just negotiate. So they may, and those people have a little bit more of awareness. So when you get like an Xbox promotion on Coca-Cola cans, there's actually agents that are negotiating for those two companies, and like, this is synergy, this would be good, let's put this together. Then they present that deal.
So it's almost kind of like, I guess, equivalent like a scout.
Right. Yeah,
like I have some familiarity or a decent amount of familiarity with this whatever, this area. I think this would be a good fit. I'm going to put the pitch together and run it up the pole.
Because I probably saw Free League is doing a good job with IPs. They're having success. This fits. This makes sense. And let's see if we can make this happen. And they did. AMC's Walking Dead Universe.
You know what? Okay. This might actually be... Okay, I doubt I'll get the book because I just have too many already and I'm trying to cut down on buying stuff. And I don't want to cart all these books around when I move. But remember before we were talking about Red Markets and how that seemed pretty interesting, and how the mechanics turned me off because there was so much you had to track, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems really interesting that anything you use is going to cost you something in terms of like calories or energy or ammunition or whatever. Seems really awesome. It was way more than I would want to track, right? So I wonder if AMC's The Walking Dead Universe are right? Hey, we can pitch for sponsorship, right? I will retract everything I said if we get sponsorship, right? I wonder if that would be a decent fit. Like, how much could you decouple the Walking Dead setting from this game to just kind of do generic apocalypse, I wonder.
Right. Oh, I'm sure it wouldn't be that hard. And the that threat, like you're saying, it could be dinosaurs, it could be anything.
It could be zombie dinosaurs.
Nazi zombie dinosaurs with flamethrowers and robot heads. I think it's a I mean, we're gonna see just another iteration of Year Zero, which will be interesting. So it's probably worth looking at the PDF. And speaking of PDFs, so the pledges will be about $47 for the core copy of the rules, and that'll probably, as the success of the campaign increases, they'll probably throw in more stretch goals. So dice, Physical, yeah. 47 for physical, 28 for the digital.
It's even more reasonable, yeah.
And digital often includes, I think they're supporting Foundry, so they right. usually support the VTT or some resources for that. So that's a thing that's happening. And it's interesting because it's the first time that they've hit an IP where I'm just like, I don't mm-hmm. really care. I would enjoy a zombie game, but the
flavor of this. I don't know if I'm $28 PDF interested.
right. Yeah, the flavor of this is... yeah, not great. And the fact that show just drug on, you know, way too long, it's like...
Oh, gotta keep milking it.
Right? That would be inspiration. So that really makes me wonder, what is the next step of Walking Dead?
Walking
television?
Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead, Loathing of the Walking Dead, right. Terror of the Walking Dead, Night of the Walking Dead, Day of the Dead, Mall of the Walking Dead, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so right. Who knows what that's going to be. But I'm looking forward to the AMC's Mad Men Universe tabletop RPG.
Hey,
where
okay,
you put you together your...
you know what? I've actually never watched an episode of that. Uh-huh. But after just championing the fucking non-existent Baywatch RPG, right? Mm. I'm not going to not...
Yeah, them, that's true.
Right?
Yeah,
there's stuff you could do, probably, right?
Right. Lucky Strike cigarette promotion. That would be great to put together a campaign for...
well, that's the big problem, right? Mm-hmm. You've got this looming ad. You know, how much are you going to drink and smoke?
The pitch, the day of the pitch. Oh, wow. All right. So moving on to
another Kickstarter.
This seems like the most fun. Both this and Hillpiercers seem like a good time. The Dinoberry Press is producing a very wonderfully named tabletop RPG that maybe YouTube is not going to like us saying this too many times, but you're in space and everything's fucked.
Yep. Okay.
So so it's a and they've already hit their goal on Kickstarter with a few weeks left. And it's going to be so the interesting way they're going to produce it is they're going to be two books, a 64 page station book, which basically goes to the GM, and a 40 page struggler book, which goes to the players. So the players are strugglers. And basically, it's the same setting as Dead Space, System Shock, or even Alien. You're a survivor on a space station on a derelict ship.
Wait, let me guess.
And
everything's fine.
Right. Yes. And then that happens. Yes. Yeah.
And then that happens. Yeah.
Right. So it's for built for 2 to 5 players, and you're playing like in hostile space, and you're basically survivors. And I like the term that they use, strugglers. I think that works very well.
The struggle bus.
And some of the video game inspired aspects are strugglers revive at save point, and and there's a little bit of flavor that they had from the Kickstarter page. Your steps echo down the once pristine halls of the GSV capital, Gallivant, your waypoint leading you in the direction of what's supposed to be a cache of supplies, maybe even a friendly face. You can hear horrible klaxons in the distance, distant part of the sectors you're in, and gurgling monster screams moving closer. Something with too many limbs darts across the end of the corridor, thankfully, without noticing you. You know you probably won't survive another run-in with one of those things, not with your arms in the state they're in. You catch yourself letting out a sigh of relief. You just need to get to the waypoint. You just need to survive. You just need to make it. So, yeah, I think they set the tone really well for survival horror, sci-fi based survival horror.
Is there any kind of in fiction rationale for the respawn?
Oh, yeah, I wonder.
Because I've seen that used in other games. The first tabletop game I saw that used in was a Magpie Games Dungeon World setting, the Cold Ruins of Last Life, which I really want to play. We're like, everything in that world is just dead, right? The entire world is dead, and so are you, right? And the only reason you keep going is like something is keeping you undead, right? So when you die, you respawn at the last campfire thing, very Dark Souls, right? But there's a penalty, right? Like you mark off in advance. You either kind of get more corrupt as things happen. That's the first time I saw it, and I think it's pretty good. And I mean, Paranoia has their clones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the latest kind of Rune by, I think it's like Gila RPGs that I back, which is very grid-based kind of combat. I mean, it's Dark Souls, right? Like, you're going to get killed, but getting killed actually, you're better prepared for that fight again, right? And it's written into the fiction. So I wonder if there's any kind of in-fiction rationale for the respawn here.
Yeah, I didn't see that on the site, but it does talk about that things are it's random generation of the space station.
Oh, okay.
And what else?
That answers my next question about replayability.
Right, right. Yeah. So they seem to rely on things that mechanically have already been kind of thought of for video games,
which is fine.
Yeah. And things. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's it's interesting inspiration, and the tone of it. I think they nailed the tone. I think that's fine. And limiting it to that, not making it a space RPG that you can play any way you want. No, this is what's happening. Okay.
Yeah. Tight mechanical focus about your game, people.
Right, right.
Looking at you, Watson.
Yes, so $30.
Never gonna get fucking sponsorship,
by the way. Never.
Never.
$30 or more gets you the PDF. $60 gets you the print edition with the
Both
books. And $300 gets you a monster design. And $600 gets you a play session with Dinoberry. So the creators will run it for you. Hmm. So yeah, this is a and they've got a preview or a demo on an itch their itch.io page.
I've been
so
take this for a while.
Yeah, take a look at that.
I think I'm going to go check that out too, because I wonder if my one concern: how prominent is that F-bomb on the cover of the book?
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, like, I don't mind. I don't want my kid to go pick it up. No, no, what's it say, right? Not that I'd like leave it out, depending on the picture. But like, hey, she loves looking for the alien book, right? I'm just like, yeah, sure, go at it, kid. Right? Anyway,
I wonder if especially if they're gonna go to a wider retail, if they'll censor it on the cover just so it can sit on a shelf more easily. Yeah, I wonder.
You know what? Whatever they want to do, of course, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember way back in the day, one of the first indie RPGs I picked up, I forget what it got called. It was called Panty Explosion Perfect. And it had nothing to do with exploding panties. It was just kind of Japanese anime themed, kind of not even like sexual shenanigans, just shenanigans. And that title got chosen because it's like the nonsensical title that you hear, right? Mm-hmm. And I, of course, people look at you and go, I remember now. I forget who made it. It got renamed on a later edition when it had a wider audience to Tokyo Brain Pop. Right. And of course, creators can do whatever you want. And they even had this thing like, okay, we decided, and it was one person making it, we decided not to name it in the second edition because we just wanted to reach a wider audience.
Yeah,
and Panty Explosion Perfect was not doing it. So,
yeah, right.
Whatever you want to do. But I also kind of feel you lose something.
Yeah, I think so.
Right,
and that original inspiration, just go with it, and it won't be a huge cross audience, genres success, but it should be what you want. You know, what exactly make the game exactly
right. Like, honestly, I don't see a lot of people playing Kill Puppies for Satan, which was like a Lumpley game. The guy came up with Apocalypse World, like one of his early games. Like,
right.
Okay, who wants to play Kill Puppies for Satan? You're just like, nobody. Why? Why not? Right. It's an awesome game, right?
Yes. Yes. So the emphasis on you're in space and everything's fucked is no prep, straight dive in with a complete station and random generation of the ship and the space age monsters.
Nice.
So yeah, sounds good. And plenty of death.
Oh yeah, I would hope so. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I wonder how that's handled also. Because that's one of the, they handle it well. That's one of the downsides in the alien RPG cinematic scenario. Usually there are enough NPCs where you go, well, you're dead. Here's your new character, right?
Right?
You kind of keep playing. And they did a really good job of those story points are attached to the player.
Yes,
not
right,
the
right.
character, right?
Right, yeah, so they move, yeah.
So I wonder how that's handled in You're in Space and Everything is Fucked, right? Like, if death is expected, the person just go, well, okay, let me know when you're done. Or is it like, and here's your new survivor.
Right, yeah, or
sorry,
like the spawning,
your struggler.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, your struggler, if you respawn. Yeah, so as well as a demo, they're talking about the PDF release will be in June, and the print release will probably be in August. So they have a pretty good handle on the game so far. So
I'll be moved by then.
Yeah, okay. So that's Dinoberry Press, and a link to both the Kickstarter page and the demo rules if you'd like to take a look at that.
Yeah, cool. I will.
So a heck of a lot of Kickstarters. Yeah. Some not as exciting as others.
But
a
third sound pretty cool.
Yeah,
what? Like, we said, like, even AMC's The Walking Dead RPG Universe, whatever, however long it is, right? It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, mechanics, art, layout.
Right, right.
Production. It's going to be good because it's Free League, but yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll lose that license really fast, and then they'll just have to make a generic zombie game that we can all enjoy.
And they'll have to liquidate those books.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it's funny, and I think that's the problem with licensing IPs is you're going to hit some kind of popular but kind of okay, because
or
because you can't even come close to holding up, you know, Blade Runner, Alien, and The Walking Dead. I mean, it's
I'm going to take a corporate approach here. Dollars.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, if they still think that there's that many fans out there, because Blade Runner and Alien are huge, but they're very old, you know, and
Walking Dead. New ones.
Both
of them, yeah.
Yeah, and even though, Walking Dead is waning, it's had more recent popularity, so.
Or if the owning IP company kind of says we want to go a different direction. I mean, Marvel Heroic Roleplaying, which was kind of the precursor to Cortex Prime,
mm-hmm.
was a fantastic game, and that one made me go, oh, this is how you would play established characters, and oh, this is how you make things that are not like direct combat matter, and oh, I kind of get all this. And there are not stories, but like there were books promised and kind of done, and then Marvel went, nah, we're not renewing that license. And it was just like, we were waiting for that book to come out to see all that, and it's just never going to come out.
Wow,
right? Like,
yeah.
I forget exactly which one it is, but there was another source book that was, or campaign book that was going to come out, and just like, never.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the danger is that if this is very successful and somebody huge takes notice, then they're like, oh, maybe we'll just, okay. Yeah. So the contract is up and we're going to actually, the license is going to move over to.
Here you go, Wizards.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you guys take it from here because you're going to merchandise it with all your blind box. Yeah. Miniatures.
Don't they already have Walking Dead Funko Pops?
I'm sure.
How many of them are now in a landfill?
Yeah, right. That's really depressing. So anyhow, where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. It's HiveMind, HyveMind, where I don't know what I'm doing. Talking about more pixel art stuff that I can just continue to buy because the potential of what I could do with it is that little hit of serotonin. And I go, I don't need to finish. I'll just buy more stuff, right? Anyway, yeah.
Nice.
So how about you?
And I am still, even though my live stream just suddenly cut out this week, I'm still doing a live stream for my single panel gag cartoon where I ate a bunch of cherry blossom flavored snacks this week, which is
funny. The cherry blossom stuff is the sakura flavored stuff is actually okay.
Yeah, because it's a real mild flavor. Yeah, yeah. So you can't put it in brownies though. I've realized that they tried to do a brownie. It's like chocolate just dominates this, it doesn't work. But Abuse Cartoons on both Twitch and YouTube. And I draw the cartoon, eat some snacks in the convenience store, and just talk nonsense. And there's
with your mouth empty.
Yes, right. Yes, I usually try to.
A skill my kid has yet to master.
Nice. And it's a very nice chat. And if you'd like to read that cartoon, gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you like what we're doing here with the weekly, please visit upturntable.com for the everything that we're doing, the
pre-recording rant.
Yes, right. The actual plays and reviews and unboxings and all that good stuff. And if you'd like to support specifically the weekly, go to patreon.com/upturntable and become a weakling.
Yes, with two E's.
Yes, the strongest of all of our patrons. They tell us exactly what they'd want to see on this.
They're like our boss.
Yes, exactly. Particular live stream. So step up and become, we want new management. We demand new management. So so sign up today and let us know. So Upturn Table on all social media, and that'll do it for this week. So we'll be back again next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.